I was given less than 10% chance of surviving. Doctors were saying that they couldn't imagine me walking, that I wouldn't be able to talk, that I couldn't see. And the one big thing about my story is that I proved them all wrong. Even if the odds are stacked against you and hope seems almost lost, always I believe in the little percent that things are going to be okay, because I took that small percent that they said that I was going to make it. I took it and ran, and I'm still here today.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Hey, 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 welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. We are here today with an inspirational survivor story with Dylan Barenty. He was given less than 10% chance of surviving multiple brain surgeries, and he has beaten all of the odds. Dylan is such a kind-hearted, joyful individual, and I cannot wait for you to hear his story and some of what he's been through. We're going to talk about symptoms, struggles. He's going to share some of his story, ways that he's had to learn to adapt on how to live with the effects of the injuries and the brain surgeries. But most of all, I think the most inspiring thing about Dylan here today is going to be his perspective. He has such a beautiful perspective on life and such a great outlook. And I really, really hope this encourages you today, whether you are a survivor, you're a family member, or you're a professional listening to this. We can all learn something from Dylan. Now, this is something I definitely needed to hear this week because I have been exhausted. I have just been feeling drained, emotionally drained, physically drained. And I felt like the rest that I've been taking hasn't been enough, or it hasn't been restful enough. You know that saying that says you can't pour from an empty cup? I was talking with a couple friends the other day in a small group, actually, and they were like, Crispo, how's things going? You know, we go around, share, pray with each other. And I said, you know, I feel like I'm being poured into in my cup, but like it's leaking out the bottom. And, you know, in order to give, you kind of need some overflow from your cup. And I think about Psalm 23 that says my cup overflows and like the Lord is able to provide these things. But man, I have been tired, and I kind of joked I need some duct tape for my cup because it feels like even though I'm trying to rest and I'm doing what I can, and everything that's being poured into just feels like it's leaking out the bottom. Kind of like I'm getting closer to towards like a burnout feeling, and it's not great. It's not a great feeling. And I know some of it has to do with I've been changing around some of my medication, trying some alternative things. My system just is tired. And with a brain injury, everything affects your body and your brain, maybe a little bit more. There's a lot more fatigue. There's a lot more tiredness. It takes more time to adjust. You know, everything's kind of harder. And so I have just been in a state of tiredness. But we still have a number of great episodes here in Hope Survives Podcast Season 2. However, towards the end of the summer, we are going to be taking a break between Season 2 and Season 3. So right now, I'm just wrapping up the interviews. And so we still have probably another month of episodes ahead. So definitely stay connected. But we are going to be taking a break later in the summer. Just giving you a heads up because I need a little bit of time to recuperate before we can launch back into Season 3, which is hopefully going to be even better. But as for now, we're still here in the middle of Season 2. Things are going well. I'm excited for the interviews that we have lined up to round out the season. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. I also wanted to mention our Zoom support group is next week, June 22nd, Wednesday night. We are having our next Zoom meeting. It's completely free. Anybody who wants to come, visit hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. I would love to talk to you and meet you there so you can sign up to join our Zoom group that meets once a month. All right, that's all I have for our intro today. Thanks for listening and being a part of our community. And let's move forward into Dylan's incredible, inspiring story. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. Today, I am so excited to be here with Dylan, and he is a member of our Hope After Head Injury support group. So welcome, Dylan. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me tonight.
I'm so excited for you to share your story. So Dylan has been part of the Brain Injury Bible Study group for like over a year and a half. And he's been on those Zoom meetings, and he's been on our Hope After Head Injury Zoom support group that meets once a month. And he's shared bits and pieces of his story on those groups. And so I have always been so inspired by you, Dylan. And so I just, after the last Zoom group, when you shared your story and it was so beautiful, I was like, I need to get Dylan on the podcast. So I sent him an email and he agreed to come on. So I'm really excited for you to share your story today. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. If my story is able to help somebody else out, and that's what I feel like my purpose is.
That's awesome. So why don't you go ahead and just kind of start from the beginning and let's just get into it.
Sure. So it all started junior year of high school. Like it was just at the end, right? Summer was starting and I was helping my Boy Scout troop out with their swim tests. And because I was an active lifeguard and this one, one of the scouts I was helping, we were going around the pool and I noticed that he was having a little bit struggling in the water. So I misjudged how deep the water was. So I jumped in to help him out and my feet hit the bottom, jarring my head. I didn't think much of it at the time. So I just continued doing the test and like everything was fine that night. Though the next morning, my parents told me that I kept repeating myself. And this is not normal like me. So they took me to the hospital and they They ran a scan of my head and they found out that I had a benign brain tumor near the center of my head. And because of where this tumor was located, every doctor's textbook says that you should never touch anything that connects both sides of the brain because that can completely affect your entire body. So they sent me home. So a week later goes by and I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with my school group and I dove for the Frisbee and my chest hit the ground, which again jarred my head. And that night I had another one of my seizures. And that's when the doctors said, like, we need to take care of this. So that resulted with me being in the hospital for 38 days. And after they did the first surgery, I lost complete mobility of the left side of my body. Like, I was completely bedridden. And this was hard for me at the time because it's the middle of summer and a lot of my friends were all in their sports.
Yeah. What was your life like before the surgery, before the injury? Was it really active?
Very active. I was and still am today an avid hiker. I would, like, my average kind of weekend would be to throw on a 100-pound pack and go hiking. I'm in the backwoods or even bike riding, just anything outdoors. And after everything that happened with my head, that put me in the hospital for 38 days total to have all the surgeries done, it kind of put a halt on all of that. And after that, it took, like, not only that 38 days, it took many weeks, if not months, of cognitive and physical therapy in order to get to be able to walk again. Because I literally couldn't move the left side of my body. And a lot of the doctors that came in to see me, they were like, this does not look good. And they thought that I would never be able to walk again.
Can you share, what year was this? How long ago was this?
This was in 2018.
Okay.
Yep, summer of 2018. So yeah, I just have recently had my 4-year anniversary.
Wow.
It's hard for me to believe that it's been this long.
Yeah. So they were saying that you would probably never walk. And what was some of the doctors saying as well?
Doctors were saying they couldn't imagine me walking, that I wouldn't be able to talk, that I couldn't see. And the one big thing about my story is that I proved them all wrong. In which I feel like after going through all of that, I want to be able to encourage other people to never give up, especially since right as I was being wheeled into my first brain surgery, like, my parents and everything were freaking out there because everyone was worried because this had never happened in my family before. That junior year, I was in the Lion King production. So I played the role as Mufasa. And so I just pulled from that. I'm like, don't worry, parent. Don't worry, mom and dad. Hakuna Matata. Everything's just going to be all right. And I told them that as it wheeled me into my first surgery. And that has been my motto ever since. It's been a rough road. It's had its ups and downs. But every day I've noticed there's always been healing. And I'm thankful to God that I am where I am today.
Thanks for sharing, Dylan. So you said your first surgery. Have you had other surgeries since then?
Yes. So I've had a total of 6 brain surgeries. Yeah, they gave me less than 10% of surviving each time. And oh. Like the first few were to remove the tumor from the left side of the brain. And the rest were to remove the right side. The reason why they were so hesitant is because if you affect both sides of the brain, your brain communicates from talking from one side to the other. And if you mess with both sides, it can completely immobilize you. But with how severe everything was, they realized that this needed to be done. So that first time I was life-flighted into the hospital, I found some of the best doctors that could have taken care of the problem. And they've helped me out tremendously.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about the timeline. You had your first surgery in 2018. How far apart were these six brain surgeries?
The first three to four were on that first time when I went into the hospital.
During those 38 days?
During those 38 days, okay. Yes. And then I had to come back later on, I'd say a few months later, to have the other side of the tumor be removed.
Okay. So you said you had to relearn how to walk and they thought you would never talk. What was that process like for you? How did you process this news and this recovery?
It was pretty hard, especially since I was all before that really active, active in sports, active in hiking. Mm-hmm. And to see my friends who were still in high school, see them go off and do all the sports and everything. I appreciate their support towards my recovery. They even make a whole entire banner that says that has all the photos from junior year and they're that I had hung up in my hospital room.
Wow.
But to hear about all of the things that they were able to do, but I wasn't, that kind of hit me hard.
Did you have to miss your senior year then?
Pretty much, yeah, because senior year, because of the surgeries, I completely lost the ability to visualize anything. So I couldn't visualize numbers in my head. So all my grades in math tanked. I was never good at math anyway, but they got much worse. So I took a gap year, so to speak. I retook all my classes and my grades significantly improved. I actually got to be a first through third grade gym class teacher. I'm at my school.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you got to do something with sports for kids.
Exactly. And basically, I felt like I became a kid again when I was teaching them, which made me it made me feel like that was my purpose. So I had to teach younger kids, which I've always wanted to do ever since I was younger.
So it gave you some purpose. It was something that you could contribute, some value that you could contribute.
Exactly.
That's really nice that you were able to do that. So you were talking about the process of just kind of your mental state of having to relearn these things and watching your friends go on and move forward. What was it like for you to work on your recovery in rehab? I can tell you were clearly very determined because you already said earlier, I proved them all wrong. But what was that process like? Were there ever times that you weren't sure if you were going to be able to?
There was quite a few times, yeah. Especially when I went through physical therapy. I originally didn't like the, I didn't like the idea of being in therapy, but I knew that it's what my body needed in order to heal. So in the first few months, I struggled quite a bit. And though over time, as I continued with the cognitive therapy, continued with the physical therapy, things continued to get better. And I'm so thankful to God that happened.
Yeah, that's good. So let's talk a little bit about where you are now and how you got there. So you took a gap year, you took your classes over again, you helped out the elementary school kids in gym class. What happened next?
I ended up taking two gap years because when that first year I was just taking the last of classes for my senior year. But while I had the time off, I figured, why not take some other classes? So I decided to take some online classes from this one program called The Great Courses, where they had marine biology, geography, geology, and because I've always had a passion for the natural world. And so in a way, this pause allowed me to do some more of the classes I wanted to do that I couldn't do during senior year. And in fact, it actually helped me for my college journey that will be coming up.
Yeah, share about that.
Like the whole thing with my college journey is I used my story as my college letter. So I used it for my inspiration for that. And ever since I was in high school, I was taking classes on like the natural world. I toured Unity College up in Maine and completely fell in love with it. So I had been waiting for senior year to apply. And even though this made things, I paused things for a little while, it allowed the school, since like everything with COVID happened, it allowed them to create a hybrid program. What this is, like in 5-week increments, you could do 5 weeks at home, 5 weeks on campus, or however you want to do it. You could do 10 weeks. And what this will help with for me is that I can schedule this around my doctor's appointments.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It even allows me on time if I need to take a brain break.
So you're going to be starting this program soon.
Yep, come October.
That is so exciting, Dylan. Yeah. And it's the school you wanted to go to before your brain injury?
It was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's making me cry a little. That's amazing. Wow. I love how it just came around. God just worked in that. So how are you feeling about heading into this program?
Oh, I'm super excited. Yep, it's been something I've been wanting to do for many years now. And now that everything's coming together, I'm super excited.
So what are you studying?
I'll be studying fisheries and wildlife biology. With growing up, going to the beach and going camping, I've always been torn between the land and the sea. This is the one college I found that offers both. It's like right near the coast. And because of COVID, they created a hybrid program so that people can take classes from home, classes on campus, or do a mixture of the both. So I guess in a way that because of my pause, if that hadn't happened, I might have jumped into a degree or into a schooling that might not have been right for me.
Yeah. That's a really good perspective. And, you know, I always say, I started to say this many years ago, and I still think it's true, that people with brain injuries, we can do anything we put our mind to, but we probably have to do it differently. And it might take longer. Yeah, I love that you're doing what you always dreamed of before your injury. You're just doing it differently.
Yeah. Even though you thought that you had a plan, God's plan is what matters in the end. And in the end, you'll end up where you're meant to be.
Wow. So can you share some of the symptoms or some of the difficulties that you had earlier on in the injury and some that you might still deal with today?
Sure. So early on, I lost complete, after my first surgery, I lost complete mobility of the left side of my body. I was pretty much bedridden, and I lost the ability to visualize anything in my head. So like if you were to say like, picture a dog sitting there on the floor, I couldn't do that. And because I couldn't visualize, that's what made school so hard for me. Like for math, that's everything in your head, like visualizing equations and everything. I couldn't do all of that. So by giving my body time to heal, it my grades went from Fs to passing by the time I was finished with high school.
Yeah, that's great. So do you have any symptoms? Do you ever get overwhelmed or fatigue or anything like that?
So symptoms I still have today. Well, for one, I never used to have glasses. Because of the surgeries, it altered my vision a little bit. So these are prism glasses. I do still struggle with some memory issues, which because anything that's like tampered with in my brain, that's affected like by sugars, by gluten, by dairy. So I've had to pretty much cut all of those out.
Do you feel better?
I feel so much better. Yeah, like I feel so much better to the point where I don't want to go back. Pretty much it's if I want to have, like, let's just say a bowl of ice cream, I know that, like, all right, I'll have trouble thinking for the next week or two.
Yeah. It's amazing how much it affects you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can make sugar-free, gluten-free and dairy-free alternatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I found that helps too.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I find like I kicked gluten and dairy, but sometimes I have sugar still. And like if I have a bowl of ice cream or something, even if it's dairy free, every single time the next day I have a headache. Every single time. And I started to realize like sugar is a huge headache trigger for me, and the brain fog and the fatigue. And I'm like, wow. But when you have it all the time, you don't actually realize maybe that's why you feel so bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it takes something like this, an event like this, to help you realize that what you put into your body might affect you in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. I love that you made some of those lifestyle changes, because I talk about that on the podcast a lot. And I think people hear it and maybe they go, oh, yeah, I mean, but that seems really extreme. But look at you. You did it and you are thriving because you've made changes in your life. So can you share a little bit more of the symptoms you have and some of the strategies that you use?
Sure. Symptoms I have, like I might get, because of the surgeries and everything, like, you know, you hear people talk about like if they like break their arm, that they can always tell if a storm's coming through. I'm that way about my head. So like, because of where the surgeries were, I can always, like, I'll feel a headache before a storm comes in. And so, like, I always make the joke with my family, I'm more accurate than the weatherman. But so other than headaches, still have some vision problems. I'm definitely more food sensitive now. Like before everything started, I already realized that I had some sensitivities to bread and to sugars as well. But those sensitivities heightened after everything I went through. So I had to make quite a few lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. like involving food, involving anything I put into my body. And I've gotten to the point where I don't want to go back.
What about your left side? You had said you had had difficulties with your left side mobility.
So the left side of my body, for a good portion of the 38 days, I couldn't move the whole entire left side. Right. So what the doctors had me do is like, because at this time I was in bed, I didn't feel like doing anything. So what they did for me is they're like, how would you like to walk a dog around the nurse's station? So they brought a therapy dog into my room, a big golden doodle named Winnie.
Aww.
And they said, we're going to make Winnie be Dylan's motivation to walk again. They would leave me with Winnie for the day, and I'd walk her around the nurse's station, even though for most of the time it seemed like Winnie was walking me. But that's, it seems like that helped to build up my strength and get me to where I am today.
I love that story.
Yeah, it's one of my big recovery stories. And they each, speaking of story, they even had me for the hospital. They have a program called Short Center Rounds, where they'll bring in a outpatient and like to speak at a conference. And they brought me in with Winnie and to like talk about my story, talk about the therapy dog program. And before I walked into the room, I saw the name that they gave for the presentation. And it's called A Boy and His Dog.
Aww.
And that just touched my heart.
That's awesome. Are there other symptoms that you deal with today?
Other symptoms? I'd say because of the surgeries and everything, I occasionally, like with weather, will get weird feelings inside my head. And one thing that has come from that, I do get some PTSD. Because like whenever I feel something in my head, my body thinks like it's happening again.
Aww.
And that I would end up back in the hospital. So that's one of the big things that I've been trying to work through. And I pray to God every night that those moments will go away and that He gives me the strength in order to fight through those challenges.
Yeah. Thank you for opening up about that. And so the emotional journey, we've talked a lot about physical things, but how was the emotional side for you? How has it been coping? You said before about watching your friends go to college and do all these things, but even, you know, dealing with having symptoms now and things and difficulties that you maybe did not have before, what has that been like emotionally for you?
Emotionally, it's definitely has taken its toll. Like especially being 4 years out now, my mind thinks like, you're 4 years out. Why? You should be able to do all the things that you did back then, like all the hiking activities, being able to throw on a 100-pound pack and go out. But since I'm still healing, and the doctors want me to take things easy, that's kind of put like a damper on things for me. So I know it's for the best, and my parents have definitely helped me through that. They've had my back since day one, and I've always appreciated everything that they've done for me. And they're my constant reminder that everything's that's meant to happen will happen at the right time. So when I'm meant to go, for my college example, when I was originally planning to go to college, God knew that you're not meant to go just yet, which I believe that because the hybrid program that they had didn't come out until a few years after I was in the hospital. So if I put it into that perspective, it helps my mind to realize that everything's meant to happen will happen when the time is right.
Yeah, that's good. And can you just reiterate something you said earlier about the survival rate of your surgeries?
Sure. One of the main reasons why every doctor that like read my report and came in and saw me, and the reason why they didn't believe how well I was doing, was because I was given less than 10% chance of surviving. And after all the brain surgeries and everything, it went against everything, every textbook that every doctor has ever read, that like someone that's been through this will have these symptoms. Though I've been through all these surgeries in parts of the brain that should never be touched, and I'm doing so much better today. So what I hope to do is by sharing my story with other people is to show them to never give up, that to have no worries, Hakuna Matata, and know that God's always got your back, because he has a plan for all of us. I believe that true to heart, and everything that's meant to happen will happen when the time is right.
Wow. That's amazing, Dylan. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We always ask the last question is, what's any words of hope you have for other survivors? But you kind of just said them. But is there anything else that you want to say? Just last words of encouragement for brain injury survivors listening or their family members who's listening to this?
Sure. So encouragement for that is that even if the odds are stacked against you and hope seems almost lost, always, I believe in the little percent that things are going to be okay. Because I know for me, I took that small percent that they said that I was going to make it. I took it and ran. And I'm still here today. So never lose hope. And just like I said when I was in that hospital bed, Hakuna Matata, have no worries.
That's awesome, Dylan. This has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing your story today on Hope Survives Podcast. You're wonderful. And yeah,
thank you for having me.
And Dylan comes to our live chats and he's in the brain injury support group. So if you want to get a hold of him, you can go ahead and connect in our support groups.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.